That's what we need to give him. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight is what can we give him? He brought us out to bring us in. That's what I preached on this morning. What can we bring to him? Is there anything, really? I mean, is there, can you imagine? I mean, he's God. He has everything, can do anything, could do anything at all. He could have had angels sing the special just now. He could have had a small group of several thousand or maybe million could have sung the choir special a while ago. I mean, have you ever thought about it? I mean, he sings. He could have sung everything perfectly. Poor Paul, you know, he works with us and we work in choir and we have to get the notes and God would not have to work at it. He could sing all the parts all at the same time and hit them perfectly. Isn't that something? And yet, what can we bring him? Is there anything we possibly could bring? Well, here's a good passage of scripture. Actually, I have two of them, but Luke 19, verse 28. And it's one of the first times when I saw this passage as a new Christian that I realized that God needs some things. Not because he really needs them, but because he chooses to need them. God can do anything. Remember that. Every time we get up and sing, it should be, we should understand that what a privilege it is to be able to sing. When we get up and we teach a Sunday school class, or we teach junior church, or we get up and preach, as I'm doing, it has to always be in the back of our minds that God could certainly do a better job. But yet, he has chosen us to be able to do it. When you drive a bus, do you understand God could get everybody here without a bus? I mean, think about that. Did you realize that he could, we wouldn't have to have anybody. I mean, God could just get everybody here. And yet he allows us. He gives somebody an opportunity to drive a bus. God could be the captain of the bus. He is the captain. Amen. He could be the captain. We wouldn't have to have humans. Do you understand? God could run the nursery. He could get all the babies not to cry. And yet, here we are. And there's people in positions all over the church, all Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, practicing and doing. Why? Because God has chosen to need. And here we have an example, and it's a great example. I can't think of a better example. Luke 19, verse 28. The Lord is heading into Jerusalem, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him, thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." I love that. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, "Why loose ye the colt?" And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And I want you to look at verse 35, and I have chosen this as the title of the message. And they brought him to Jesus. What can we bring to Jesus? What could we possibly, I mean, God, the creator of all things, what could we possibly bring to Jesus? And yet here we have a great example. I mean, God made all the animals. God, why would he need this colt? Why would he, really, I mean, but they brought him to Jesus. And I believe Jesus was very pleased that they did it because God chose to need. God chose to need. And so the thought tonight, what can we bring to Jesus that he needs, that he's chosen to need? Again, we recognize he can run this whole thing better than any of us. He could, you know, when I think about the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus, there's no better soul winner Kathy Moran's a good soul winner, but Jesus, there's no better soul winner than Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he, you know, just it just was amazing all that he did, and yet he needs us. What can we bring to Jesus? Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the music. Thank you for all the folks that work and serve you. And we certainly had a busy day today and this morning. We thank you for decisions made. And we pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight and help us to realize there are some things we can bring to you. And I pray that you'll help us to see it and that you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus allowed his servants to bring him something. He chose to need something. He a donkey. He chose. He could have done it all himself, but he looked out and he saw servants, people that said, "I want to serve you, Jesus." And he said, "Bring him to me." And they brought him, the Bible says, to Jesus. He allowed his servants to bring him something that he chose to need. Therefore, he used them. He wants to use us. That's what's amazing to me. And so what can I bring biblically? What should we bring to Jesus? Look, if you will, at Matthew 12, verse 35, and then I'll get into the message. Matthew 12 and verse 35. And certainly our minds go to a lot of things that, and I hope they do. I hope you know your Bible well enough to think of some things, and I'm probably not going to hit everything tonight, but Matthew 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I've often wondered if maybe he doesn't allow us to, once we get saved, it seems like we'd all be better off just go on to heaven. Amen. I mean, think about, what a wonderful thought that is, and yet he leaves us here to serve him. And I've often thought, for 17 years, I brought him a whole lot of evil and grief. And now I have an opportunity as a Christian. I have all these years now, I've had an opportunity to bring something to him that he can use, to bring something that he needs, to bring something that the Son of God has said, "I've chosen to need, and you have an opportunity to bring it to me." And so I want to give you some of those things tonight. Go to Matthew 2, verse 11. The first thing that we can bring to Jesus, I'll simply call gifts. Matthew 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And of course, we know about that. We know about the wise men bringing the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. And yet, there are some gifts that we can bring to the Lord Jesus just like they did. And we look at the Christmas story and we get all excited. And that's a great story. And I'll tell you, I wish I were like those wise men. Well, you can be. And again, we're not talking about the tithe here. The tithe is already here. His. It's not here. We hope it's here by now, but it's already his. We're talking about gifts. I'm talking about not only financial, but what about the gifts that God has given you? Yes, the wise men brought financial gifts, and maybe you could bring financial gifts. Folks do. Most of the people here, I'm sure, give over and above their tithe, and you should do that. Amen? There ought to be some amen going on. But we ought to give more than that. We ought to give above our tithe. I mean, the tithe is already his. We haven't started giving until we get over 10%. Hello? You haven't given anything that's yours until you go over the 10%. If you don't start showing a little more excitement, I'm going to keep talking about this. That wasn't even one of the main points. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But that's giving. It's whenever there's a special offering. Hey, who will do this? That's when we give out of our wallets. That's when we give from what we have. That's when it becomes a sacrifice. Oh, you say my tithe is a sacrifice. It's not yours. It isn't a sacrifice. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your account. I know some of you are looking at me real funny now. Well, you didn't react right the last time, so now I'm on. But understand, we can give. Do you think God really needs our money? Do you understand that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and beef is expensive? Do you understand the streets are paved with gold, the gates are pearl? He does not need, but He allows us to give. Oh, the tithe, that's already his. But he lets us give over and above. He lets us, if we made $100 last week, we can give, we put the $10 in, that's the tithe, that's already his. And then he says, hey, did you want to give me something? And he lets you do it. Isn't that wonderful? And you can do it. And last year, we gave so that we could pave our driveways. Amen? People gave. And when you drive over that, you can say, you know what? I gave toward that. We gave toward these chairs. Different classes gave extra and gave toward these chairs. I know that my class, for example, they think they own one of these chairs. And they don't, but I'm just kidding. But we gave. By the way, gave means it ain't yours anymore. All right? So when you give it, it's given. And but we gave toward those kinds of things. And all these different projects, those are gifts that we can give him. We can bring our gifts to Jesus. What about the gifts that he gives us, though, as Christians? What about the gift of preaching? What about the gift of teaching? What about the gift of, the Bible talks about the gift of helps. Helps. You say, well, if I can't preach, I'm not. No. Gifts that God gave you. Something that God, a talent, an ability that God has given you. Have you brought it to Jesus? Have you laid it on the altar for the Lord? It breaks my heart to think of all the gifts represented right here tonight that are not being used for God. That maybe used to be. Well, you know, I did. No. You're still alive. Check. Amen. Amen. The gifts that God has given his people, and those gifts are needed to carry out the work that God has for us. I think of all the men that ought to be working on their CDL. Or ladies. Right? I remember when, we've been praying for Kathy Dehas, the lady that has cancer now, and a good friend of ours, and I remember after her husband died, and he's the one, he was my assistant that died in the car wreck, and after he died, oh, several years after that, I believe we were in Flint, and I was yelling and preaching and screaming about men getting CDLs, and all the kids are going to hell because nobody will drive a bus. You know how you do. And really on a run. Finally, you know, she came forward to the altar, and she told me later on, she said, preacher, she said, if the men won't get a CDL, I will. She did. And she's been driving a bus. Amen. And why not? Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's better to have a man do it. I think men can. Oh, you know, I don't want to try. Oh, that's a, yeah, I know. But some of you, and some of you, we don't want you to. But there are so many that should. So many that should. You know, I think of our fellas that drive the buses, and they're it. I don't think we have any extras. Is that right, Brother Hollins? We have no extras. They just have to keep doing it, keep no break. They say, I'm going to go on vacation. Brother Holland says, no, you're not. See what I mean? But you have, my point is, you can. My point is, the Lord, now again, we don't have to run buses. If God just says, I'll get them here, he could. But he lets us. He lets us have a bus ministry. Have you ever thought, I'm not going to go to one of those churches where they have a bus ministry. They're always yelling and screaming about people. No, it's not like that. He lets us have a bus ministry. He lets us have Sunday school classes. Do you understand? He'd be a better teacher. He can teach all of our classes and do a better job. But yet he lets us teach the class. And there are some that could. You say, well, I'd be a Sunday school teacher, but I don't like all that's expected out of me. The Lord hath need of him, and they brought him to Jesus. I don't know what it might be. There's folks all over this room. You have a gift. You could do some things. And you just, you know, some. There are those that can sing, and you don't get in the choir. I don't understand. Amen. Well, it requires, you know, we have to go to practice. Turn off the stupid television and go to practice. Amen. It's okay. You know, there are folks you could there's so many things, maintenance, you know. And one of the great things about that roof leak was finding out what people could do. And that they wanted to do. You know, there are some folks that won't just jump up and say, hey, use me. You know, that's what we ought to do. I've told you. And I made reference to it this morning. We sat in that in Marion Baptist Temple in Marion, Indiana, and knew I was a new Christian. We were newlyweds, and I sat there, and the preacher said, you know, we need somebody to paint the swing set. And I mean, I'm thinking, good night in the morning, I can do that. And I was so excited. I thought, sure, I was going to have to fight somebody to be able to do that, because this is God's work. Do you ever think maybe you get a little tired of hearing about God's work and so it's not exciting anymore? Hey, it's God's work. Amen. It's not man's work. I can understand if you go to the factory tomorrow and you say, oh, brother, oh, I got to go to work. I understand that. I really do. I remember going to RCA and thinking, oh, you know, but this is God's work. Amen. All right, I'm not getting through. Boy, it was a tough crowd this morning, too. It must be the cold weather. You know, he could do any of these things himself. I like the fact, well, you know, there's really nothing I can, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't, you know, do any of those kind of things. And what about the gift of helps? Could you help people? Helps. It's a gift, Bible says. Have you ever used it for the Lord? You just see somebody that has a need, you know, that these are so good, you know, and he gave you this gift when you were born. Talents, abilities, you're able to do some things, and we have so many that don't do it. I think of it this way. Here's a factory manager, and he has the gift of factory managing, and he hires a supervisor, and they have the gift of supervising, and they have a technician who has the gift of being a technician, and then production workers who have the gift of being production workers, and then the maintenance department who have the gift of maintaining things. Why? Because it takes everybody. Amen. It just takes all of them. And nobody's any more important than the other one. They all are important. Everything has to happen. I mean, honestly, I don't care how wonderful the manager, the factory supervisor, whatever you want to call him, the owner, the president, whatever you want to call him, I don't care how sharp he is, how good he is. If his machine breaks down, the maintenance guy says, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to fix it. Guess what? Typically, that president or what, he doesn't know how to fix it. And it doesn't get fixed. And guess what happens? Nothing. You know, I often think the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And I just wonder what's not getting done. Because we have folks, everything's here that needs to be. Everybody's, we have the people. We have the manpower to do whatever it is God wants us to do. Amen. It's just when the Lord says, well, I have a need, we don't bring ourselves to the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I come and listen, and that's wonderful and it's great, and now you've been fed so you can do whatever it is God wants you to do. It takes everybody to make it all work right. And your gift could be that missing link that needs to happen. It really needs to happen. A good example, you know, is we talked about it this morning, we're a body. This is a body. And you know, we understand. We understand the Bible that we can't all be an eye, right? We can't all be an ear. We can't all be a nose. But we have eyes. We have ears. We have a nose, not noses. And we have arms, hands, fingers, all those kind of... We need all those things. Our body does. But how about what happens when you sprain an ankle? Who's it affect? The whole body. Yep. What happens when you lose your hearing? It affects the whole body. My right eye with my glaucoma, it was actually damaged. The optical nerve, they can't fix it. Nothing they can do. And it affected the whole body, especially at first when I started getting surgeries and different things. And this eye got better. And you know, for a while, it takes time to get all that worked out. God, listen, one part that says, nah, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't have time for that. I can't do it. You know, just one part, it affects everybody. It affects everybody. We can bring our gifts to the Lord. The wise men brought their gifts, and we hear that story at Christmas all the time and get all excited, like, oh, that's so wonderful. In fact, so many people have a manger scene in their yard or maybe in their house somewhere, and you got those three wise men bringing their gifts, and yet you are withholding yours. It's a sad thing. What you ought to do is put the wise men away. That's not going over real well. All right. Whether it's money, whether it's service, bring it to Jesus. Put it on the altar. You say, "Why? Well, you know, I've not had anybody ask me. I'm asking you. Amen. Whatever you can do, let's plug it in. Amen. Whatever you have to do to make it happen, let's make it happen. Gifts. What's another thing we can bring to Jesus? Well, this is pretty obvious. Matthew 19 and verse 13. What else can I bring to Jesus? They brought the donkey to Jesus, this colt. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Here's something else I can bring to Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Oh, yes, little children. You know, it's interesting in verse 13. My first question is, who brought the little children? Doesn't say. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Somebody brought those little children. And their name's not recorded here, but I can guarantee you something. One of these days, we're going to find out who they were. Why? Because they brought him to Jesus. Who could bring little children to Jesus? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I may get on a roll here in a minute. But I can tell you, Jesus said this in verse 14, suffer little children, that means permit them. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to tell you, there are many, many, many churches will answer to God for not bringing little children to Jesus. And my fear as a pastor is that we're not doing all we could do. Now, I'm not gonna go back to it, but CDLs would make a big difference. Bus captains would make a big difference. Willingness would make a big difference. Getting some different buses, like I proposed in the meeting, we already had some money come in toward that. Just give toward it. You know, all that makes a big difference to bringing children. I don't know of anything more effective than the bus ministry. That's why, honestly, Jim and Shirley Bailey all these years have been involved in the bus ministry. I don't know of anything more effective. And Shirley's out there with a broken arm, staples in her head. Well, the other day she had them in her head. And still going out and talking to the kids and trying to get them to ride a bus. Why? Well, it's somebody she can bring to Jesus, and he's pleased. He likes it. We're to bring children to Jesus. Somebody said, well, they're too young. They can't possibly understand. I've known adults that don't understand. Should we kick them out? We were talking, Brother Livermore, we were talking about the superlapsarian theory. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, I didn't think so. He and I struggled with it. How about if we got on a dissertation about the trichotomy of man? You want to really get into that too much?
No.
Yeah. Well, does that mean you're not able to pay attention either? You know, I'll tell you what, children, does a child, if you told a child, get a drink of water. Do you suppose they understand that? I watched Titus drink a lot of water today. He knew exactly what to do with that water, didn't he? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, drink. Amen. He said, I'm the door. Okay, tell a child, go through that door. Oh, he'd gladly go through it. You're telling him, don't go through the door. They get it, right? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Does your child eat? I'm just saying, you know, we are supposed to bring children to Jesus. We're supposed to preach the word to children. We're supposed to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to tell them. And you know what? It's up to God what happens then. It's not up to us. It's up to God. Amen. And so we have children. And sometimes we have children. I you know, you say, well, I've heard that name before. They got saved 2 weeks ago. Well, you have a good memory. I was thinking it was 3 weeks ago. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think they get saved over and over again, but I do hope they get saved once. And we'll deal with them until they get it nailed down. Why? Because they're children. Well, why can't they get it? I have dealt with adults for years over assurance of salvation. You cannot think that a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old is going to understand more than any adult who struggles with assurance. Hello. We're supposed to bring children to Jesus. Keep running the buses, amen? But we need CDL drivers. We need guys working on it. Amen. Look at Matthew 18, verse 1. You say, I was hoping you were leaving that one. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You would not be ready for the answer to that question. Most of the churches in Lenawee County do not want to hear the answer to that question. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wait, the question was, who's the greatest? Well, it's the one that can be saved. Who is it? A child. Do you know a child is more apt to get saved the first time they hear the gospel than somebody that's 70 years old? You ever witnessed somebody 70 years old? I'll tell you, there's no comparison between witnessing to a 70-year-old and a 10-year-old child. The 10-year-old child's much easier to talk to. Amen. Jesus said right here, these little children, become as a child. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when a child asks, you can tell them. We don't have to push them. You just tell them the truth. Same with baptism, you know. We just tell them what they need to do. You say, well, I don't think they understand baptism. You know what? I've had people say that to me before. And I said, do you understand baptism? Well, yeah, you go underwater. I said, children know how to go underwater. I said, you understand the spiritual truth of baptism? You know what? If we did a quiz tonight, I guarantee many, most right in here, you would struggle with that answer. In fact, you would not know a passage of Scripture to go to that talks about it. Do we want to test that right now? No, we don't want to do it. No. Oh, you're so cruel. But the truth of the matter, why are they going to get baptized? God told them to. That's exactly why. Is there a better answer? Well, they need to understand that they're buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And it's just like going underground into the tomb and he was raised up. Okay, well, you know, I can tell them all that too. The truth of the matter is, if they say, you know, I'm not going to get baptized because I don't understand it. And I have adults that do that. I've said that before. Do you understand they're disobeying God in the first thing they're supposed to do after they got saved? And if the first thing you're supposed to do after you get saved, you don't do, you'll never do anything. Right. And there's a whole bunch of unbaptized folks around here that could tell you all kinds of deep spiritual truths, and yet they've disobeyed God in the first step after they got saved. Amen. And so somebody said, well, you know, you ought not baptize those children. Well, you ought to baptize children. Amen. If they've been saved and they tell you they're saved and they know for sure they've trusted Christ as Savior. Amen. Boy, this is good. You know, I decided a long time ago, and you know, we went to Pensacola Christian College, and they did not have a bus ministry. I'll never forget the first time I went on the campus there, and I saw all those buses. They drive, they pick up kids for their school, the Christian school there. I saw all those buses, and I thought, wow, they got a huge bus ministry. I was shocked that they didn't have a bus ministry, but they didn't have one. But we came from a church that did have a bus ministry, and so when I became a pastor, you know, I had to wrestle with the idea, okay, when do we start a bus ministry? What are we going to do about that? And I'll never forget, I've told this story before. There was a Triple X theater in a little town right next to Bern, Indiana. Believe it or not, it was one of the last drive-in Triple X rated theaters. And that means it's wicked, vile, and sinful. And one time I told this story, and I didn't mention that it was daytime. I said, Mrs. Rogers and I went, and anyway. But I just want to see if you're paying attention. But anyway, we went during the daytime because we saw a car there, and so we drove right in there. And it was spooky because we just don't do that kind of stuff. And anyway, we drove right in there and went back there and started talking to this man and his wife, but there were three little children. Never forget it, and it was right after we started our church. Three little children. I thought, this guy was the guy that ran the projector. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I run the projector. And I said, listen, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I got saved years ago. And I said, well, you know, I'm busy. I got this job and all this kind of stuff. And those little kids, I'll never forget, they just stared at us. And I thought, there is absolutely no hope for those kids. There's no hope unless somebody brings them to Jesus. And ever since that time, and it wasn't long after that, we started our bus ministry with one blue bus. Actually, I don't remember what color it was. We painted it blue. We put stencils and painted the letters on it. And it was, you know, the F was just a little crooked. But there was our bus. We need to bring children to Jesus. By the way, you know, you bring enough children on a bus every now and then, adults will ride too. And that's an extra blessing. How about this? Look at Mark 9, verse 17. Mark 9 and verse 17. I'm really on the back page. It means very little that I'm on the back page, but I wanted to encourage you. Mark 9 and verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Here's somebody who brought his own child. Not only should we bring children, we need to bring our children to Jesus. Amen. Bring our children to Jesus. Are you bringing your kids to Jesus? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I never try to. I just want to preach the word. But if we were to ask for a show of hands, how many have family altars? I think we'd be scared. Where we bring our children to Jesus right in our home. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't want any kid. Do not get after your parents. That's not your position. That's God's position. But folks, I so remember our kids back when they were cute. And we would sing, and we would sing all the little kids' songs, and we would read the scripture, and we would pray together, and we had such a wonderful time just always, night after night, bringing our kids to Jesus. I'm sure, David, you remember, don't you? Our family altars and singing only a boy named David. And the five slings went in the stone and the sling went round and round. And the stone went in the sling, or I don't know what it was. But anyway, I'm getting old. And when the sling went round and round and round and around and around and around and around and around and around. And one little stone went up in the air. And the giant came tumbling. Good job. And then we would always fall, you know. And we would sing that. And all those kind of, what are you doing? Well, we're just bringing our kids to Jesus every opportunity we get. Amen. Amen. Little babies, I thank God for nursery workers and how they bring those little babies to the throne of God. And if you have a little baby, bring your baby to Jesus. Sing, read the scriptures. Amen. Talk about Jesus in front of your little baby. Don't put them in front of soap operas. Anything more dirty than a soap opera. It's hard to believe it's soap because they sell soap. They don't have anything, any idea what clean is. Bring those little kids to Jesus. I thank God for a nursery now that doesn't have a bunch of gossip going on. Remember, Brother Varnum, you wrote a little poem. I should have got that out years and years ago about gossip in the nursery. I don't know of anything. Then you're bringing them to the devil. Amen. You gossip in front of your child, gripe and complain, and all you're just opening hell up to them. But boy, if you can talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you can quote the scripture to them, I can do all things through Christ. Hey, little Poindexter, you know what? You can do all things through Christ one of these days. You're going to be able to do great things. I remember I used to tell David when he was a baby and he didn't talk back. I used to tell him, son, you know, David, you're named after David. You can do great things like David did. Now, you say, oh, he doesn't remember all that. I don't know if he does or not, but all I was doing was bringing him to Jesus. I know Jesus remembers. We need to bring our children to Jesus, all the children. We need to bring our children. We need to bring our little babies to Jesus. If you work nursery and you gossip, shame on you. Put tape on your mouth next time you work. Amen. And I don't think anybody does. Praise the Lord. Number three, and I just have, you know, just a little bit. Anyway, number three, look at Matthew 14 and verse 18. Here's a good thing. Not only do we bring our gifts to Jesus, bring our children to Jesus, but number three, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 18. Matthew 14, 18. He said, bring him hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes. There's the boy with his five loaves and his two fishes. Jesus said, bring it to me. So I put for number three, whatever you have, bring it to Jesus. Amen. Whatever you have. Well, yeah, but the five loaves and two, it wasn't enough. Oh, but it was enough. Because it was all he had, and that was enough for Jesus. You know what? It's always enough when you bring it to him. You say, I don't have much. You don't have to have much. Just bring it to him. Amen. Whatever you have, bring it to him. Well, yeah, but it's not a great thing. Oh, but well, wait a minute. Do you suppose it's as great as a rod? Hey, Moses, what do you have? Well, I have a rod. Did God use that? Understand, folks, it's not the what you bring. It's who you bring it to. Amen. And whatever you have. You know, I think of old Shamgar with an ox goad. An ox goad was like a pole, maybe 8 foot long. It wasn't a great weapon or anything. It was to goad or to get the ox to go a certain direction. And he had an ox goad and he slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Amen. What do you have, Shamgar? Well, I don't have a sword. I don't have a nuclear weapon. I don't have a tank. What do you have? Well, I got this ox goad. Get him. And he did. But it wasn't the ox goad, and it wasn't Shamgar. It was the one he brought it to. What do you have? What do you have tonight? Well, you know, I'd pick up little kids in my car, but it isn't much of a car. What do you have? That's the question. What do you have? Amen. And David, who loaded up a sling into five stones, or whatever I said a while ago. What do you have, David? Well, I got a sling. You're going against Goliath. Saul said, here's my armor. Oh, it's the best armor around. Can't get any better. David said, I'll take my sling. Why? Because he gave it to Jesus a long time ago. I'm just saying, what do you have? And whatever you have, bring it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. You know, I when I got laid off at RCA, I had time. That's all. What do you have? I have time. Who will paint the swing set? I will. Was I going to do something great? No, I was painting the swing set, and it was cold, freezing. Nobody was there. Nobody saw. I was all alone. It was too cold for anybody to be out there. But he saw. What do you have? What do you have? And whatever you have, bring it to Jesus. I often think of Joel Mullinex at Pensacola. And the story is told that he went there. He said, you know, I can be a librarian. I don't even know what his title is. Is he president, vice president of, they have so many different presidents, you know, president emeritus of the second, vice president of the third, secretary of state, whatever. But he's and you know, but here's what he started out. He started, I'll be a librarian. Librarian? Are you kidding me? Who wants to be a librarian? And the Dewey Decimal System. He said, well, that's what I can do. I love the story. Because now he's one of the grand poobahs. Amen? Amen. But it's not because of him. And it's not because of a degree. You know what it's because of? It's because who he gave it to. If you get on this altar tonight and you say, I give you me. Yes, sir. That's my last point. Now you know. And you say, "What? It's what I have. This is what I can do." And you give that to Jesus. Why wouldn't we expect great things? What can we give to Jesus? What can we bring to Jesus? How about number four, bringing people to Jesus? Bringing people to Jesus. Matthew 4 and verse 24. Do you know any people? I think we all do. Matthew 4, 24, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, every one of them. Huh? Do you know any people? Well, I know so-and-so, but they got a lot of problems. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them. We ought to be called Problem Baptist Church. Amen? Because we have a solution. Bring them to Jesus. Well, you know, I know some folk, they're pretty rough. Bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. That's who needs Jesus. Amen? People. Oh, you know, these are sick. We wouldn't want to bring them to Jesus. Oh, they're possessed with devils. Bring them to Jesus. He can help them. We know that. Yeah. Amen. I've dealt with some demon-possessed people before. I don't want to deal with demon-possessed people. But when you bring them to Jesus, he deals with them. You say, yeah, but I bring them to church. And then you've got to bring them to church. He'll take care of it. He always did. I'm just not going to go out looking for demon-possessed people. But I guarantee if somebody comes, I've got the answer for them. So do you. Bring them to Jesus. People. Your neighbor. Your coworker. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? Well, you know, they're just not our type. What do you mean? What is our type? Jesus is the answer to whatever their problem is. Bring them to Jesus. John 1, verse 42. Just about done. John 1 and verse 42. What can I bring to Jesus? Well, you can bring gifts. Amen. You can bring children. You can bring whatever you have. You can bring people. John chapter 1, verse 42. Start at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Simon, who's that? Peter. Who brought him? Andrew. I love it. Your friends, your loved ones. Andrew. You know, you don't hear a whole lot about Andrew. We hear more about Peter, don't we? But who brought Peter? Andrew. Amen. Who could you bring to Jesus? Who could you bring to Jesus? Andrew brought Peter first. to Jesus. I often think about the ones who, and we've heard the names, the ones who brought Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon, and we've all heard of Mrs. Bethel, who taught Brother Hiles when he was in Sunday school, Lee Robertson. You know, again, their names aren't, they're, we don't even hear about them, but they're the ones that brought these to Jesus. You say, but I can't reach thousands. But you could reach one and bring him to Jesus. You say, yeah, but I don't know about leading somebody. Well, you just invite him and talk to him. And what would you do if all of a sudden you're talking to him about coming to church and they say, well, what must I do to be saved? Got a track on you? Pull it out and show him. Amen. You mean they might ask, what must I? Oh, yeah. Or they may cuss you out and slam the door in your face, but bring them to Jesus. Try. Amen. Amen. How about bringing poor people to Jesus? The Bible talks about it all the time. Go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, bring in the poor. Do you understand how many poor folks during the winter would come to church just because it's warm? Do you know how many folks would come to church if you said, I'll take you out to eat afterwards? I will. Dave just volunteered. I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about people you're around. I'm talking about folks that, you know, does Jesus need these things? Well, he chose to need them, and he'll use them. And the last thing, of course, is bringing ourselves. Of course, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we know this verse. We've memorized this verse. Many came to an altar based on this verse years ago, and I often wonder what happened. Because it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You were a teenager, you were at camp, you said, I'll do it. I'll give myself to Jesus. You were in a church service, you were in a teen meeting, you were at Bible college, you were in chapel. You said, I surrender all. I give myself to Jesus. I don't know, time, whatever. What happened? You know, that whole process of giving ourselves to Jesus, presenting ourselves to Jesus, it really all starts with what he wants. And I would encourage you to do it tonight. Proverbs 23, 26. And I close with this verse. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me thine heart. It's where it all starts. My son, give me thine heart. Tonight, you know, all of our giving, that's really what it all comes down to. If we would just give him that thing that he asked for, that seems to be the most, just, I'll give you my heart, God. Because if I gave him my heart, then whatever's in my wallet, do you ever, and don't raise your hand, but honestly, it becomes so easy to give. Amen. Somebody says, well, I have a need to do this, and all God has to do is just say, you could do that. You know, there was a day I would say, well, of course I could, but somebody else could too. Or there was a day that I said, well, what about me? But it anymore, it's just not, it's not that hard to give. But that's because a long time ago, it's just an illustration, that's all. But a long time ago, I knelt at an altar and I said, God, here's my heart. Whatever I can do, if you want me to sing, I'll sing. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. If you want me to teach, I'll teach. If you want me to go tell this person, I'll tell that person. If you want me to run a bus, I've asked God if he wants me to get a CDL. And I think if I walked in and I said something about my eyesight, they would probably say, leave. I think as pastor of the church, I would tell me to leave. But who's going to drive the bus? Do we want a guy that can barely see out of his right eye and has glaucoma? Do we want him to get his CDL? Thank you. I mean, Shirley already has a broken arm. We could add to that. But, you know, there's so many things. What is it? Well, it just starts with our hearts. We're here on Sunday night. Come on, this is the cream of the crop here. Amen. It is. Have you ever said, God, here's my heart? Because when you do, your car's his, your wallet's his, checkbook's his. It's all his. Let's bow our heads, please.